You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Let's do the 50% off. We still have our annual forecast model on sale, half off, 2022 half off is the promo code, 2022 half off. And the volatility we're seeing in the market and stuff, I think these models, which cover all the markets, not just the S&P Dow Jones, but all the major commodity markets, would be of some great value to you. So been doing it since 1987. And that's the annual forecast model. You go to VRTrader.com and click on the VR forecast, the logo, and then sign up.
Mark,
also, I'd like to disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, and I don't provide financial advice. It's a general disclaimer we make. Thank you.
President Trump announced that 25% across-the-board tariffs would be placed against Canada and Mexico on March 4th, and another further percent on the existing tariffs against China. I'm seeing on the stock markets nothing but red today as they closed. Does this mean good times are over for the stock market?
No, we're just in a negative cyclical period, which I've been sort of pounding the table on for the last few weeks, telling all our listeners and subscribers that, you know, essentially, you know, you run into the first quarter of the year and you've got the vernal equinox coming up on March 20, 21st. We've been talking about this since December, where you had the winter solstice, and the market tends to change directions around these time frames. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, the winter solstice was a topping out period for the market in late December, and here we are coming into late February, and none of this comes as any great surprise. And yesterday, we had a new moon. For those who are also into other cycles, which I follow, besides my volume work, on the 27th, you had the new moon above, and certainly today's volatility in the market we can attribute to the intersection of time and price and that lunar cycle. So this is part and parcel to my expectations. Plus, we were, you know, way overbought in the market, lost so much speculation, and today we saw NVIDIA, which is the kingpin of the U.S. stock market, get nailed a bit. It's been topping out, frankly, in my opinion, since the last summer, you know, just zigzagging up and down with constant barragement of supposed good news, which generally is coincident with market peaks in individual stocks as well. So I think this is a correction. I don't think it's too early to say. I shouldn't say it's not a bear market. I mean, it could turn out to be the beginning of a bear market, even though Donald Trump's in the White House and I admire him and everything that he's doing, and I'm not going to disagree or agree with the tariffs, because some people argue they could be beneficial in some way, or they could be removed, and it could be a political ploy of some kind. But even when Ronald Reagan was president, if you recall, we had the big crash in 1987, and he was a Republican, so I warned about this too. You know, markets do what they want to do. It's not necessarily who's in the White House, and cyclically we're due for a correction here. We've been talking about Bitcoin, which is a sign of speculation, even though I'm a big believer in the cryptos. We can talk more about that. You know, we got way overbought, and I've been mentioning on these broadcasts that we should pull back to about 73,000 in Bitcoin. We got up to about 109,000, which was the high. I think we're around 84 today. And we got at least another 10,000 to the downside here in Bitcoin. That might be coincident with the market bottom of the stock market as well. It might all happen at the same time in the next couple of weeks or into mid-March. The Ides of March is another way of phrasing it, I suppose. So nothing unexpected here. I mean, I pretty much kept a low profile. Personally, I've kept most of my money in Treasury bills. I do a little trading. Our clients have been actually short crude oil because I thought it was going to come down, and it did. And we made some trades there. I think crude oil is going to overall go lower during the course of the year, but we may get a bounce here a bit. So, just a lot of stuff. Natural gas took off, which we had predicted, had a nice run, and we took some trades there. And also, I should mention, we sold all our gold and gold stocks earlier in the week. We dumped them all And everybody looked at me like I was crazy. And then gold dropped $50. It held a day or two, dropped another 40 or 50 today. Why? Because cycles say you could peak in February in gold. And everybody got so excited. They were just about touched that 3,000 area, and they were getting orgasms over gold. And they figured, well, we're getting Florida here near some type of top. So I'm not saying we're not going to buy gold back next week or the week after, but we got out, and we're looking for another opportunity. I guess it probably all happened at the same time. Bitcoin, stocks, gold, they all have some type of selling climax here between now and the third week of March. And we'll see if that scenario plays out. Like anything else, you got to look at the charts and put all the pieces together. So long-winded answer, but that's sort of where we're at on the market.
So a decline until the first day of spring?
That sounds good to me. Remember the big low on the COVID crash was exactly the first day of spring back in 2020. And so with the end of the panic on COVID, when they killed the market, and they got the Dow down from, 28,000 to 18,000. It's unbelievable now it's over 40,000. But, yeah, it was about 18,900 or something around that on that date. And that was your bottom, right on the vernal equinox. So, thank God there's the seasons and there's the moon and other things out there reminding us that there are cycles in the universe, and a lot of things that we think are controlled by mankind are somehow influenced by other forces on the planet.
What's happening with crude?
As I mentioned, we were short for trade, and I think the overall play there, despite my longer-term view, which I talked about longer-term, the charts changed and we got short here, and I think it's going to be a Trump trade, pumping out more gasoline or more crude oil, more wells, more activity, loosening up a restriction, I think, is going to be great for the consumer. Lower oil and gas prices, which is, by the way, good for the economy because, high crude oil prices is a tax on consumers and on industry because it costs more to ship and so forth and so on. So it should be bullish for the stock market ultimately as more, crude oil is produced and as prices come down. So I'm looking for, where is the crude oil now? Around, $70 a barrel or so, $76, $75 a barrel. I see it down $55, maybe even $45. Could happen in the next year or two based on the Trump trade. So, but still, oil companies can still make money. They make money, have been making money no matter what the prices are, apparently, the last few years. Big reports came in from Exxon and other, Chevron and so forth, that they were profitable. So even though there's volatility in the prices, the oil companies could still make money. So I don't know if the stocks will do poorly or they'll just come down less, but may even pay big dividends, so people will still be holding these oil stocks. But the underlying commodity, I think, Jim, should be under pressure.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, anything on the geocosmic front we should be concerned about?
Well, less concerned about that asteroid. Asteroid, they call it asteroid 2024, YR4, is no longer a threat. Apparently Christmas 2032 was supposed to be not so merry, and now apparently they're saying this so-called city killer asteroid, they've ruled out an impact on the Earth on December 22nd, 2032. So, apparently it deviated, or their calculations are wrong. And a lot of interesting research coming out of spaceweather.com about stuff going on out there. There's actually an article today which we're going to be posting in our newsletter since we brought up the subject. They say a lot of about a million asteroids in our solar system have come from the Alpha Centauri group of stars. So they've been traveling, thousands of years through the cosmos and ultimately get here. And just interesting article about where a lot of the asteroids might be coming from. Many thought they were only between you know, Mars and Jupiter, supposedly where a planet existed and blew up, but there might be other places these are coming from. And as you remember, back in 2017, there's a Oumuamua that you want to call it asteroid or vehicle or whatever it was, space rock. But I know Avi Loeb over at Harvard thought it was an alien craft, a cigar-shaped craft that passed through our solar system. There's all these articles on it. Some other astronomers disagree. But the only reason I bring that up is that apparently we do get visitors from other star systems, including the asteroids, and maybe there's a Oumuamua, which came through in 2017 and passed right through our solar system, which is unusual since gravity didn't seem to affect it. There's all articles on that, but you can read the Harvard Avi Loeb studies regarding that, who put out a lot of report on it in the last few years. So, you know, that's what's going on the geocosmic right now.
Of course, I was wondering, maybe the guys who track asteroids have been laid off, so they're gone, so's the risk.
Okay. Okay. We can blame Trump for letting off the asteroid trackers. Huh? That's a good argument.
Okay. Well, we don't know. They let go the guys who kept track of the nuclear weapons. They fired air traffic controllers, and I just saw a tweet from Elon Musk today asking retired air traffic controllers to please apply for jobs.
Okay, so they changed their mind. That's interesting. That makes sense. Smart. I think Elon's smart enough to realize if he makes a mistake or not. I mean, he once in a while, one of his SpaceX ships has a bit of a problem, and they seem to, you know, rectify that. So I'll give him credit for that, for making that change. Mm. Meanwhile, that's sort of the high things. Just to mention a couple of things going on, I think, that are sort of interesting really quick. I know, if you probably remember, I know since President Trump was in the White House today doing a press conference, but he had the British Prime Minister there. But just a couple of weeks back, they had the Japanese Prime Minister there. And part of the talk is regarding the many months speculation regarding whether Nippon Steel was going to acquire U.S. Steel or not. And both former President Biden and President Trump have indicated that they were not going to allow that to happen. But apparently, there's articles today, in fact, in a bad stock market today, U.S. Steel was up. And we have it on our recommended list. We've been following that for a while. But apparently, U.S. Steel still thinks they're going to use this merger agreement, since apparently Trump agreed that they can make an investment in U.S. Steel but not take it over. But some of the press coming out today says that Nippon Steel is still looking to acquire U.S. Steel. I think it's like a $15 billion or more acquisition, $14.9 billion. And the interesting part of the story is I have pictures here of employees of U.S. Steel standing out in front with, you know, placards basically supporting the Nippon Steel acquisition of the company. Apparently the workers, you know, the union people and so forth are looking for it to happen. So maybe there'll be a turnaround here in terms of President Trump's viewpoint and former Biden's viewpoint about the merger, since the argument is it'd be a stronger company and Japan is a strong ally of the United States. So nice little play. You know, I'm always looking for special situations and looking where the action is in the market. This is a little area to look at. In fact, most of the steel stocks are up today. Maybe it's because of the tariffs. Cleveland Cliffs, which was going to acquire U.S. Steel at one point, was up during the day. And Nucor Steel, which I think is the largest U.S. steel manufacturer above that of U.S. Steel, was up today in a down market. But, again, it may be related to the tariffs and other variables as well. But I just thought I'd mention that. It was an interesting story we were tracking today.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.